You recognize that one?
Yeah, the insistent blue jay.
Yes, it is. They sure do like to talk. I thought it was very interesting. That's one of the top heard sounds in September. Or top recorded sounds in September in iNaturalist from Minnesota. So they must really be talking through September.
I'll say. You're listening to the Season Watch Pod, by the way. That's Charlie Mitchell. I'm Heidi Holton. On phenology this week, John Latimer was, you know, doing his report as he does, but keeping an eye out the window. And what he was watching was a brown thrasher and a blue jay. And the thrasher was dominant over the blue jay, which we were both very happy about, since the blue jays always seem a little like a bully, you know?
They do have that reputation. Now, the brown thrasher is one of your favorites, right?
Yeah, just the color and the large tail. I don't know how it stays up upright. It seems like it should topple over with that tail.
Yep, a little lopsided.
Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating. Because, yeah, I remember you saying a couple of years ago that brown thrasher was one of your favorite birds. It's like, you know, I know they're around. I don't think I see many of them where I live.
Yeah, we get them a lot outside the window at KEXE. And so they're really... They're one of the ones besides, you know, a blue jay or a robin that I could identify. So that might just be why they're kind of favorite as well. I mean, sure, you've got your finch, you've got your chickadee. I can understand some of those, but it's fall. There's so much less going on, although we're still getting the hummingbirds. And they're so insistent right now that, like, it's almost like a bee is by me when I'm on the deck. And I'm like, have hummingbirds ever pecked people's eyes out? That was a question I wanted to pose to you.
I sure hope not. I wonder, you know, if you had like red rimmed glasses, I feel like you might be in more danger of that.
Okay. I mean, they're not too close, but it's surprising to me how close they get. Cause I'm not sitting right next to the hummingbird feeder. It's, you know, like, a ways away from me, but I can see it well, but I just had a moment of like, oh, I think of these guys as being pretty nice, but holy cow, they're so fast. Would I be able to shield myself? You know, I don't know. So, yeah.
And I mean, they are pretty nice to us, to each other.
Yeah. So, yeah. And we still have a lot of woodpeckers.
Where we are, the number of woodpeckers doesn't change a ton. We're a little bit too wooded for a lot of flickers. They like the lawns and that kind of stuff. Somehow or another, I don't see a bunch of sapsuckers. And so most of the woodpeckers we see are the ones that hang out year-round. The red-bellied, downy, hairy, pileated are the four that I see often. So woodpecker numbers don't change much. So it's fun to hear you say, oh, yeah, we still have a bunch of woodpeckers.
And I've had the delight of falling asleep to the sound of who cooks for you.
Oh, beautiful barred owl. That's glorious. They've been putting up a ruckus here too. Sometimes it's the like calming, beautiful hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And sometimes it's a
nice job. I know.
The caterwauling.
Yes, I forget about that part of it. And also they are the ones too, like years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, I remember, I'm sure I've told you this story before, but I honestly thought someone had left a baby up a tree or something and it needed to eat.
Oh.
It was screaming so much and making the most bizarre sounds that it was like, something is very wrong in the world. What is going on? But apparently they make they vocalize all kinds of different things, huh?
I haven't heard the baby, but that's a... terrifying in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I mean, it had to be an owl. I'm not positive. It was long enough ago. But I think we mainly are just hearing barred owls where we are.
You would have other species, but barred owls are pretty darn loud. And generally, if you have barred owls around, that means you don't have a ton of great horned owls because they don't really share territory that well, because the great horned owl will take a barred owl if it can get it for their babies.
Okay. Speaking of that, last week we talked about you were starting to look ahead. Are you making your plans to get to Hawks Ridge?
I am. My September is starting to you know, the weekend opportunities are starting to shrink. So I am looking mid-September. I'm hoping to get up to Duluth and see the migration.
Well, and we're getting excited. We should do our normal plug here for teachers and what we can provide to them.
Yes. Yes, please and thank you. It's starting to be the school year, so it's time to start hearing from K-12 classrooms throughout the state. We are happy to work with any and all teachers, homeschool teachers, public school, private school, doesn't matter. Get in touch. And we'll send you what we have, and hopefully you can get your guide, doing some observing, learning about the natural world. And, you know, you don't have to be a biology teacher by any means. We can work within, like, a lot of different curriculum, public speaking. You've got writing. You've got science and math, art, if you want to do some nature journaling, you name it. Phenology is a bit of a shapeshifter, so you can get it to fit in a lot of different curriculum. So please get in touch. My email is cmitchell, M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L, at kaxe.org.
You know, phonology just sort of lends itself to poetry in my mind, the way that the words and the description and, mm-hmm. you know, we've had the Northfield School make a haiku or make a poem for us before, mm-hmm. but I just think I used to back in the day before we had funding for the world of Charlie Mitchell at KEXE, I would, and before Twitter turned to X, I would tweet during John Latimer's stuff and I would get mm-hmm. those things out there. And that really felt like poetry, the amount of space I had, you know, it was really fun to do that, but it's all right. I'm okay without Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact, haikus were generally supposed to be like based around nature and phonology. So like a traditional haiku is extremely phonology focused.
Oh my God. You know what? We are getting, next month is going to be the 1 year anniversary of the Season Watch pod. Woo. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks to you for listening and woo us for getting this out there and how fun it is. Why don't we do something fun like that of like people send in haikus?
Ooh, that'd be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little haiku. I would also never say no to a limerick. Oh. If anyone's feeling limericky,
of course not. But when we got to get puns in there, so maybe let's brainstorm.
We can
this,
mix some traditions.
What we actually want to happen, but it would be a fun, different way. And if people record it in their own voice, if they go to mm-hmm. speakpipe.com/KEXE, and it would be fantastic to hear more and more people get involved.
I remember 1 year, I was driving home from a workshop with John, like around November or something. And just in my head on the way home from the workshop, I rewrote the 12 Days of Christmas song. I rewrote it to the 12 Months of the Year with John Latimer. And it was a great, great thing to do on a 2.5 hour drive.
Yeah. Is that anywhere? Because we should share that at some point here.
Yeah. I think, I don't know if I ever wrote it down. I think it's in a voice memo on my phone somewhere.
Okay.
I'll have to find it.
All right. Well, speaking of memos, voice memos, we did hear from one of our coworkers this week on SpeakPipe.
Yes, Stella.
Hi, this is Stella in Grand Rapids. You may know me as your coworker, but I was recently on a walk near KAXE in Grand Rapids, and I saw an animal that was decently large, bigger than a cat for sure, and it scurried off. I think I scared it, and it ran underneath a porch, and it managed to get really, really flat, and I only saw the back end of it, and it was like a dark brown and had a kind of bushy tail, I think, and at least a furry tail. And I was just curious if you knew what it was. Thanks,
Stella. Stella is one of our intrepid reporters.
That's right.
And John Latimer was kind enough to identify this critter for us. It's a groundhog. The common names of groundhogs are amazing. So you've got groundhog, woodchuck, whistle pig. Because when they're alarmed, they make a little whistle noise.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I love them. Or one of my aunts once called them a timber Charles instead of a woodchuck, the formal name.
That's fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Well, and when we listened to this on Tuesday morning this week, John pointed out like that Stella did everything right in that. And this is just a good reminder that you don't have to know what you're seeing, but we need some elements. You know, he said, mm-hmm. because she said it got flat, mm-hmm. and that the tail was furry, like he could easily kind of identify that kind of stuff. And I love hearing Stella, who has recently moved to northern Minnesota, has lived all over the country and world, actually, getting to know nature here. And perhaps we're going to be getting Stella on the Season Watch podcast. I'm sure you want to talk with her about primates.
Oh, I am so stupid excited to have Stella on the team.
Okay.
It's going to be great. Probably, we got another scientist on board.
Yeah. Probably next
She's
week,
She's a reporter.
Even. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. We're going to make
I'm
that.
I'm hoping. We'll find out.
We're going to make that happen. So be like Stella. Leave us a message. Go to speakpipe.com/KAXE. Okay. The next one, we're getting towards the end of John's regular hikes at Sugar Lake Lodge over the summertime. He was on fire for this week's, and understandably so, the kids he met and influenced. Let's take a listen.
My name's Riley, and today we caught a Carolina grasshopper. The wing was black with a yellow border. I think they're very cool because their wing folds like an accordion. And they're very, very pretty to me.
Hi, my name is Owen, and today I almost caught a gardener snake. Me and my friends were walking along the shoreline of the little bank, and I saw something moving, and then I started running for it with my net, and then I realized it was a gardener snake, and then I ran into the water and tried to catch it, and by the end, my net was full of sand and rocks. And last year, I found a mole skull by the riverbank as well.
My name is Logan, and I'm from Minneapolis. Today, I found 3 golf balls and 2 frogs. One of my frogs was a big frog, and the other frog I found was like a little baby, about the size of my fingernail.
Hi, my name is Willa, and I live in St. Paul, Minnesota. And today I had really fun because I got to find snake skin, and I got to hold like frogs, and there was a really big one, and there was also this really tiny one, and it was a tree frog. Yeah, it was really fun. I loved it.
My name is Coco. I saw a big frog and a little frog.
Hi, I'm Graham, and I live in Edina, and I like the exploding seeds.
Amazing. Oh, to be a little kid on a hike with John Latimer.
Yeah.
John, it just sounds like so much fun.
John was particularly taken with all of them, of course, but he explained further Willa and how on fire for, he said sometimes kids are like, he shows them a frog and they're like, they want to just touch it for a second. Willa was like, I want to hold it. And then Willa's snake skin was huge, he said. And she just loved it and was very excited by it.
That's amazing. Yeah. Oh, it's so interesting, the different reactions that, you know, kids can have to the same things. You know, they have all sorts of just different personalities and different ages, too. But, yeah, I remember being a kid like Willa, and, you know, anytime we would take, like, a trip to a nature center or something, and they would have, like, a snake or a frog or whatever, and some of the kids would be like, ah, and I would just, like, be locked in, and long after the other kids were gone, I was, like, still holding the critter, just being like, oh, yeah, very, very much me. I would also be the kid chasing the garter snake into the water.
You know, it was interesting this week on our Tuesday morning show, we were continuing a new series we have on citizen science, mm-hmm. and you were mentioned because we had the Plinskys on, and one of the things Leanne Plinsky wanted to talk about was that She put it like, you know, you sign up for these things, you start learning, you start showing up at nature centers or different opportunities, and then you find your peeps, she said.
Yes.
And she said, in fact, that's how I met Charlie Mitchell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was glorious. You find your peeps both in terms of your people and your spring peepers. Yeah, I met Leanne and Ron at first at a Minnesota Master Naturalist course. It was the Prairies and Potholes course. And then a few months later, I met a Leanne and Ron through my work, and they were lovely. And about a year later, I figured out that those Leannes and Rons were the same people. So As you know, Heidi, I'm very bad with faces.
That's right. If only I could be by your side to remind you at all times. I'd have no problem being that guide for you. So
yes,
we'll have Heidi, another opportunity of you know, whether it's Earth Fest or who knows what, for me to like go, this is this person. You know, kind of like, did you ever watch Veep?
No.
The TV show? Great show, by the way, but Julia Louis-Dreyfus has a assistant who just stays right behind her at all times and just keeps whispering, this is Leanne Plinsky, you know, and just gives all the info. You met them in this course. And then she comes off like the most amazing person that knows everything.
Yes, you know? Remembers everyone.
I'm not saying I'm amazing. That went weird. I'm so sorry. But, you know,
you are.
I tend to remember some names and people I also have not just KEXE connections to Leanne and Ron, but from my family in Brainerd, and my sister-in-law is in the same group, you know, as Leanne. And so I've been at the, you know, the Danish sisterhood, you know?
And of course, the Danish sisterhood that we all know.
Yeah. And their Abel Skilver breakfasts, you know? So,
oh my goodness.
That's how we roll. People get connected and learn from each other, and it's a lot of fun. KXE is definitely about, that's kind of what you hear, even if we don't always get to be in person, is, you know, you turn your radio on, you hit that stream at KXE.org, and you're like, I found my peeps. There we go.
Absolutely. what a good crew of people it is, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leanne and Ron have been such marvelous people to know in this community for me. Always so welcoming. My favorite coffee mug I got from Leanne. John Latimer did a talk at the Northwoods Arboretum.
Mm-hmm.
And I came along and she was kind enough to give me this coffee mug and this beautiful tablecloth. And yeah, just, you definitely find your peeps.
Yeah. And they, you know, speaking of the Northland Arm, they talked about finding places like that and what a big deal that was to them, and that they even, you know, worked on projects so you can find some of the guideposts or maps they did there that, you know, are in perpetuity so people know more about what's going on. You know, the cool thing last year at the Northland Arb was they had that skating path in the woods, ice skating path they made.
Mm. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. But I'm trying to find, they have something I saw. Oh, for Halloween, they always do. I'm looking at their website, northlandarb.org. They have a haunted trail. It's their biggest fundraiser of the year. So you get to, you know, walk through the woods and have, you know, scary things jump out at you, which is not usually my favorite thing in the world, but how cool. You know, people are doing that. There's something else, too, that I recently saw. It's not on their website, but that they're cooking up that is pretty unique for the region. And maybe I will see. I'll take a look here as we do it. But
do you remember a few years ago you had an interview on like Spooky Lakes or something with some kind of limnologist who was talking about like those bog lights?
Oh, yeah, I think a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. We might have to do a special on that around Halloween.
So what I'm seeing, one of the things that they have there during the non-winter time of the year, they have, you know, botanical gardens, of course, but they have, you can rent an e-bike there and go on their trails. Mm-hmm. They also have something, fitness at the ARB, and it was, they have a fitness equipment that I think might be on the trail. You know, so you could do like you might do in a gym. I mean, how much better is that than watching seven screens above you and, you know, all of that stuff that happens at fitness centers. Mm-hmm. So not, you know, there are amazing places doing lots of different things throughout northern Minnesota, throughout the state of Minnesota. And they have lots of opportunities. So if you're looking for a way to get active and learn about nature, that's it.
Yeah. Hiking clubs, birding clubs. There's a Minnesota tracking and sign club. Which I've gone to like one or two of their events, and it is amazing the depth of knowledge that these people have. They identified the tracks of a grasshopper.
Oh, my.
In sand.
Wow. Well, of course, this week included, by the way, John Latimer is going to be away next week because he's going to be in the desert and unreachable. And so look forward to a couple weeks from now, we'll get the phenology of the desert, which is always a lot of fun.
Yes.
But let's take a listen to this week's sneak peek into fall, right?
Yeah.
Today is the first day of September, and this is... this is the month when fall really makes itself known, but in a pleasant way. You know, you're not going to have a lot of really cold days in September. Frost, for example, the median date for the first light frost is now pushed back to September 29th. When I first started keeping records, we were looking at usually around the September 20th was the sort of average first frost, and that is dragging later and later now. The first light frost is September 29th. That's not that's not hard and fast. You can't say that that's what's going to happen, but the average is now moved back to the 29th. And they range as late as the 25th of October. So, I'm sorry. They're ranging from the 25th of September all the way to early October. Usually, I think the 10th is about the latest we've gone without a frost here. So, and we're talking light frost. That's anything below 32. A killing frost, anything below 29, is not likely until well into October. Other things that this season brings are the flowers, and we'll be talking more about this when I get into my notes, but goldenrods peak in September, asters come on in September. If you have New England asters, they're likely to be blooming in September. Color. Red maple is, of course, probably our lead actor in terms of color. I have maples in my yard that are beginning to color. I don't have any that are fully colored yet, but that's coming and should be along before too long. The peak is typically near the end of the month, like in the 25 to 30 for peak of color on the red maples. And then, of course, along with that, you're going to have trembling aspen beginning, paper birch, black ash, roundleaf dogwood, smooth sumac, basswood. By the middle of the month, sumac should be about fully red. It's a season of lots and lots of color. And then in terms of migration, flickers, robins, we're going to see robin flocks around this month. We'll see flickers kind of moving through this month, and sort of by October, not so many. There'll be a few October flickers, and there'll be robins until mid-November, but most of them will be moving out during the month of September. Crows, of course, are flocking up. Monarchs are going to be, you might get lucky and see a flock of monarchs. They are typically going to be heading south this time of year, from typically around the 14th of September. Canada geese are going to be flocking up and moving by mid-month. Eastern bluebirds pass through late in the month, usually after the 20th. Juncos show up at the end of the month of September, which is really a nice, reliable way of knowing that fall is coming because the juncos kind of swing down from up north. Yellow-rumped warblers, kestrels, sharp-shinned hawks, fox sparrows, lots of birds going to be hanging out in the month of September.
There's something that just is so soothing for my heart, just hearing, like, species names. Just a list of species names makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Yellow-rumped warbler, American kestrel,
yeah.
Eastern bluebird. Just string name a species, especially in John Latimer's voice, and that's a podcast I'd listen to.
Yeah. Luckily... Oh, I suppose you're just wanting the names of it. But I do think there is something to be said for, I know we've talked about it before and it's maybe kind of very woo-woo and highfalutin, but talking about nature is also sort of calming. Not just being out in nature, but the words themselves have kind of a
balm. Well, they're all so sensory.
Mm-hmm.
It's well demonstrated that being out in nature is really good for the nervous system, but I think the same thing is true of talking about it. It's grounding. It makes you use your senses. It makes you think about things that are, you know, the woodpeckers do not care about what's going on in the human world, and that's a comforting thing sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's a good reminder.
Get caught up in.
Good reminder. I have some time off next week. I need to be out in nature mm-hmm. a little bit more. Get away from the screens.
Yeah. Are you going anywhere fun or just stay at home? And
no, we don't have big plans. It's just time to take a few days off.
Yeah.
We're going to go visit some relatives, maybe do a little day trips mm-hmm. or who knows what, or, you know, maybe just.
You already live in vacation country.
Yeah. Just get out on the trails or on the lake. Mm-hmm. We didn't get quite as much as we normally do, and I love fall on the lake. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
That's wonderful. Have a good time.
Yeah.
Are the loons still hanging out? Or
sure are. Yep. Okay. Along with the owls at night, we're getting the loon calls. Mm-hmm. So
beautiful.
I'm feeling very lucky, you know, to live in the place we live.
Absolutely. You know what we forgot to do for the second week in a row?
What's that?
Go outside and get 15 seconds of audio.
That's what it was. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a goal. Okay, we'll do it. We'll do it the next time we meet up here. How's that?
Yep, remember.
If you remind us.
Uh-huh. Maybe I'll get Stella or John to do it next week with me too.
Yeah, that sounds good. Oh, that's right. John may join you on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Maybe John and Stella mm-hmm. could be a really fun thing. Could be
we'll find out.
Extended version for the pod and mm-hmm. on air. So we sure appreciate you listening, whether it's on the radio or through the podcast, and you are invited to be a part of it always. You can either text us 218-326-1234 or leave a voice memo, speakpipe.com/KEXE.
And we've got a lot of people to thank this week. That Blue Jay Jeer call is from Len Mizutowicz. Is it? From iNaturalist.
Okay.
Thank you, Len. Stella Meyerhoff left us the voice memo. Sugar Lake Lodge kiddos with the Phenology Talkbacks. And then, as always, our beloved John Latimer for his sneak peek into September.
All right. Let's head outside, Charlie. Thanks so much.
Yes, please.
Support for Season Watch Podcast comes from the Sugar Lake Lodge near Grand Rapids, a Northwoods setting on the shores of Sugar Lake, offering lodge rooms, cabins, and golf villas, with on-site dining, a golf course, and access to the lake, trails, and seasonal outdoor recreation throughout the year. Plan your stay at sugarlakelodge.com.